gospel of the Lord, they pick a different first sign or miracle to symbolize Jesus' public ministry. And John is sort of my favorite because turning wine from water. Water into wine. Yes, thank you. It's going to be a long message. I have so many children's voices in my head. On Friday night, my entire sleeping, all of my dreams were children asking me for something. Water, can I go to the bathroom? Do I have to do this crap? Can we do this crap again? No, like there is so much clutter up here. So in John, this is the first story. And I like it for a ton of reasons. One of which is the role that his mother plays in him kind of stepping up and embracing who he is. So on Thursday, we were at the park with all the kids, and we were making slime, which, by the way, slime is really easy to make. It's very hard to get out of things like hair and carpet. So just a footnote on that. They don't say that on Pinterest. And they're mixing the slime, and it's like not coalescing the way it should. So I start mixing it with kind of the spoon flat as fast as I can. I'm like, oh, I think this is working. My daughter, Fiona, a helper, 15-year-old helper, like, she's not doing it the way I think she should do it. So I'm like, let me see that. Let me just mix that for you. No, like, I've got it. I'm like, no, let me just do it. And I take it out of her hands. And this little boy, who's like 9 years old, like, I hate when my mom does that to me. She does it all the time. I tell her, I got it, and she takes it and doesn't. And that's what I imagine Jesus' eternal dialogue being. Or the scripture, like, just leave me alone. His response is sort of like over the line if it's a kid to their parent, right? So let's read together John chapter 2, 1 through 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had but you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here at Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory and his disciples. I think one of the things that always overlooked in this scripture, probably wouldn't have picked up on if we hadn't been talking about John for like the past month, is that Jesus is just giving directions on how to do the miracle. It's actually the servants who are taking the action through which the miracle manifests. And it's actually his mother who even makes it happen in the first place, which I also love because this dialogue is so human. And in some of the commentaries that I was reading this week, it says we equate Jesus's like sinlessness with not having ever any relational conflict. And it's like not the same thing. There's a space in between each and every one of us, right? And there's always going to be conflict if there's any sort of engagement. And so the fact that Jesus and his mother have very human interaction. This like growing up, like, mom, don't bring me into this. And then mom being like, oh, you're going to be involved in this. And just knowing that she moves the conversation and redirects the action so that Jesus understands that his presence and his gifts are needed. The gift of every parent. To see the context of the situation and to know that your child, any child, can step into the situation with purpose and meaning. Take me to Bible school. I saw amazing things all over United Methodist Facebook this week. People having like, just, oh, people do such awesome things with all the decorations. And I was joking around on the Parker United Methodist website, because they're a really big, wonderful church. They have two amazing female pastors. And they had just, oh my gosh, they had like castles and all this really cool stuff. And I wrote on the comment, meanwhile, our kids are in the boiler room with a hole puncher, a candle, and a bag, looking at the shadows on the wall. Which they thought it was like completely amazing. It's like it doesn't take much to help kids feel like they can do, and this is a quote, the most creative thing they've ever done in their lives. Quote from Charlie, 7 years old. Vacation Bible School for me is like this scene of Jesus kind of coming out into this fight and having an adult by their side saying, you can do this. You're amazing. I see the need in the world, and you can meet this. Because the wedding in Cana wasn't just we ran out of wine. It's much more complicated than that. There's a lot more going on. There are so many layers. First of all, the ancient wedding feast would last a week. And yes, they did bring out the good wine first, but something that isn't really talked about in the scripture is that the only way that the couple, the families, could even provide for such a large group was that everybody brought stuff. They brought wine. They brought food. This is where I guess the United Methodist potluck comes from. And so I'm guessing that Mary is seeing this poor couple that for whatever reason, maybe people in the community didn't have it to actually give, which is very likely. Maybe people didn't approve of the marriage. There could have been a million things going on. But not having enough wine is a reflection of, for some reason, there not being enough community support. That people weren't showing up, being able or willing to give everything they had. And this would have brought an incredible amount of shame and embarrassment onto the couple and the families during what was supposed to be this celebratory and wonderful time. And Mary sees and probably feels this going on. And there's also a chance that maybe Jesus, just at this point in his life, doesn't quite get it. Maybe he sees that the problem is just, well, they should have planned better. What does this have to do with him? And his mother shows him this amazing glimpse into it has everything to do with you. You are a part of the community. You have the potential, the opportunity to make a difference. And he invites other people to participate in making that difference. Annual conference was last week. Which was just like, it was just like boom, boom, boom last week. Annual conference when all of the Methodist churches in our conference, which is more states, gather together and try to make decisions and vote on things, and everyone kind of gripes about different stuff, but really we all love it. Like, it's just like any other like business conference, I guess, I'm guessing. And I walked into the annual conference down in Colorado Springs. Like Pollyanna. I don't know what I was thinking, because I should have known better. Like, the first thing on the agenda is disaffiliation of churches. Like, come on, Stephanie. I was just so excited to be with everyone. I haven't been to an I lost. And then, 2 days later, I leave early to attend that island street. We have this bright and beautiful booth with rainbows all over and huge stuffed box that every child that walked by definitely wanted and asked for. Reminder for next year, to have lots of big boxes. And people would stop and celebrate what Archer stood for. People would stop and thank us. People that might not ever come into this building are grateful that we are here holding space for a message that others are fleeing from. And I started to think about, what if at annual conference we had lamented all of the churches that had left, because there needs to be space for that, even if I'm completely disconnected from reality. And then we had told the story of why people chose to stay. Why people chose to stay in community, in a society that is just geared and funneled towards individualism. The miracle to me is not that churches have decided to disaffiliate. The miracle to me is that churches have decided ever to come together. That we decided at some point in the United Methodist Church that a connectional system was a good idea. That at some point in our historical background, we knew that we needed each other and we showed up for one another. To me, that is the story that I wish the news would tell. It isn't surprising that people are going to leave. Is it surprising that people are going to reject celebrating something that they're told isn't okay or not right? It's easy to skip over the celebration part, but we are coming out of a whole month of Pride during which our focus was resilience. And you want to build resilience? Well, you know what the first thing they tell you to do to build resilience? Celebrate everything. Every little thing. Stop celebrating. Every church that stayed has a story. Every person that's sitting in here has a story. Every kid that came to BBS has a story. We are in a feast that lasts days and months and years and generations and generations and generations, and that is only because there are 1 billion stories of people who chose community, and this is what Jesus' mother teaches him to celebrate in his story. Mary doesn't look at the material goods that are placed inside, oh well, people are just going to need to leave because we only have this much wine. Mary gives Jesus a stern look, elbows him in the side, and tells the people around them to listen to him because he knows how to help. Because there is a miracle that we are promised, that the material needs will always meet the people that are searching for the stories of belonging, for the people who have chosen grit to stay, to listen, to learn, to lament. In the midst of all things, in the midst